Radio Gorgeous, where women do the talking. Radio Gorgeous is going shopping today with a difference. As number one, I'm being driven there by a beautiful chauffeur. Number two, my shopping will be scrutinised. And number three, it's all happening because I'm with the Empress of Food Branding in Britain, Tessa Stewart. She's turning right now. We're on our way to Chiswick, actually, aren't we? So you said that I should wear cashmere socks. Why should I wear cashmere socks when I'm going to this supermarket?
Well, I think as a point of principle, Josephine, you should anyway be wearing cashmere socks as much as possible. It's one of my tenets. But secondly, if you hang around in the supermarket aisles for a living, like I do, you always have very cold toes, and I am concerned for your welfare. So I want you to be comfortable on our shopping trip.
Fantastic. They're very ribbed, so they are sticking into me slightly. But my feet are toasty warm. No, because I often get that. I'm sometimes scared of going to a supermarket because I know I'm going to be cold, you know. Why do they do that?
Well, they have to stop the food going off. That is actually the principal reason why it's cold, and so they chill the whole store. But unfortunately, I am taking you to the Sainsbury's that is the coldest Sainsbury's in Chiswick, because it was built without its warm air vents, as I discovered from the butcher when I was spending 5 hours there researching something for Innocent Drinks. And he said to me, there are no hot air vents in this store, and most of them are built with a mix of hot and cold. But this one was not.
Okay. Well, I'm really wrapped up. I've got about 10 layers on, fingerless gloves on. You've got a tweed jacket. You even dried your hair this morning.
Yeah, because this is radio, obviously.
Fabulous. Well, we're on our way there. And when we get there, we're going to grab a trolley and carry on this interview. So we're in Sainsbury's. Now, we're going round to... Is this kind of yogurts and things around the corner?
Yes, yogurts and juices are down here.
Yeah, now this is when...
Now, do you buy juices?
Yes, I do. And I keep my eye on what is on offer. Right? My children really like Innocent smoothies. Yes, half price. I definitely would only buy them because I find them quite expensive. But if they're half price, I'd get them. And I go for, the more unusual flavour, Everyone likes this, a pomegranate, blueberry and acai. And that looks... That's a new one. I go for a new product.
It's a new one.
Yeah.
And it's their super smoothie.
Yeah.
Which they've had around for a while.
And that's called strawberries, blackberries and raspberries. What does extra juicy smoothie mean?
It's just a branding thing that they're doing, really. But what they're highlighting is the juiciness. Okay. So when you're on the supermarket shelf, you really have to stand out. So what they've done is they've put the word juicy in a bigger font and a different coloured font so that it really comes out at you. And they've done a splosh of juice on the top of the packaging.
Yeah.
So that's going to catch your eye when you're blundering along the aisle. It says refreshing and juicy. That actually goes straight to the pleasure centres of your brain.
You're joking.
Literally straight to the pleasure centres. You're probably already with a bit of your brain thinking, I'd really like a refreshing, juicy drink. This is how packaging works. It's all about trying to get under your rational defences and try and get past them by using images and some keywords. So juicy will, in the juice category, is going to be like a keyword.
And also, if we look at the logo of Innocent, which I've never actually analysed before, it's an angel.
It is an angel, innocent are innocent of everything.
Right, right.
So there you are. But he's known as the dude. They call him the dude. So
the angel's
the
dude.
They call him the dude. They don't call him the angel. He's known as the dude.
But I'm very taken in by the package, by that, because it looks different than the other ones. So I think it must be better.
Absolutely. What they're doing is slightly disrupting the category packaging norms. So they deliberately are setting out to look different so that you notice them. And obviously people know the brand. The brand is quite widely known, so that's very helpful.
Yeah. Let's go to yogurts now. Again, I try and go for organic. Right, I love Yo Valley. Oh, wow. What's this one? This stands out because it doesn't look like a normal yogurt pot. It's more of a kind of round disc shape. And it's got a picture of a cow on. Passion fruit, live gourmet yogurt.
What's that saying to you, Josephine? Live gourmet. What are those two words all about?
Well, one's that it's really natural and one that it's absolutely delicious and no one else would find it. It's very, it's more rare than the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it is more rare. I mean, this is Collective Dairy's passion fruit.
Yeah.
They are a client of mine.
Yeah.
And they have taken a New Zealand gourmet yogurt concept and brought it to the UK. So it is different. It is different in the sense that it's really all about pleasure. Ah. I mean, this is a very delicious, rich, creamy yogurt with fruit added. And it's quite different in the yogurt aisle and creating quite a stir. And it's bigger. It's a different shape and packaging from your normal Rachel's or your Yo. So it does attract attention. I have seen people cross the aisle to it, literally, because the packaging is just drawing their eye. And that's what you have to do in the supermarket if you're going to survive and thrive as a brand.
Now, why? I mean, you know, you do it for the small brands. Why do they need more help than the bigger ones?
Well, small brands, they just haven't got the awareness, the customer awareness. I mean, I worked with Innocent, probably 10 years ago now, and not many people knew them outside of West London, which is where they started. But then they are more known now, and that's simply a function of customers getting more used to you being there and buying you over time and building a regular habit and telling their friends. I mean, Innocent really drove their success at the beginning by just tasting brilliant so that you told your friends.
Yeah.
You introduced them to it.
Yeah.
And that's what small brands have to do because they haven't got the marketing budget and the advertising budget in their early stages.
I see. So actually, their packaging is their advertising.
I call it packvertising. Because packvertising.
Yeah.
Because that is what they have to do. It is really the only weapon they have to work with. And that's why it's so crucial.
So they've got to attract the person and it's got to be delicious.
Yes. And it also has to work for the supermarket as well. There's various constraints on the shelves.
Oh, really?
And the packaging needs to be fairly robust. Because it does get slightly hurled around in transit. It comes out of the distribution depots and then it comes into store. The shelf stackers are probably talking about their Saturday nights out when they're stacking the shelves.
Shoving them on.
You know, consumers are quite rough with them as well. Pick them up and throw them around. And so they have to be. That's a real consideration.
You never thought of it.
And also how much you're going to offer. If you're a small food brand, how much are you going to give people? So sizing is very important because everybody in all social classes now in the UK are looking for value propositions.
Yeah.
So they will look at the markers on the shelf where it tells you how much it is per gram.
Mm.
And people can sweep along with their eyes and do a quick comparison and work out the value.
Yeah. Do you, because, you know, you've got these amazing brands, is the first thing you do, do you want to taste the brand? Is that the first thing you do?
Not necessarily. I will do a little bit of homework with my friends to see if any of them have heard of them. Of this particular brand. I will always go to the supermarkets. The first thing I'll do is say, right, where are you stocked? Are you in Whole Foods? Are you in Waitrose? Are you in Tesco? And I will go to a number of stores and I'll go and have a look and see how it stands out. I'll watch how people behave around it. Do they notice it? Is it getting ignored? Are anybody's eyes resting on it when they're choosing in that particular food area?
Wow, so you literally are a spy.
I'm a stalker. In fact, I was in this supermarket and I had to spend a number of long days here. So I was all dressed up and I had loads of layers on and I had gloves on and, you know, a scarf and the whole lot. And some guy came up to me and he said, "Excuse me, are you a spy?"
That's absolutely true. Yes, I am.
I'm a consumer spy, effectively. Yeah. A stalker. I'm a consumer stalker.
So how do you note it all down? Have you got, like, do you talk into a machine like this or do you write it all down?
I've got my going to the aisles kit organised and it's a pink moleskin notebook, very small, a pencil and a very, very tiny bag. I don't have a clipboard because obviously that would put people off and be extremely tedious.
Oh, so do you get chatting to them?
I get chatting to people, yes.
Right.
And then I take a £5 note out of my handbag, Josephine. So if I was interviewing you about that yogurt, which we just discussed, I would make your day by saying thank you so much and here's a fiver for your shopping for your help.
Oh, my God. I wish I'd met you, wish I'd met you before. Let's carry on. This isn't fair. I want a fiver.
RadioGorgeous.com.
Yes, cheese. I would always buy some Parmesan.
Of course. Now, we all need Parmesan.
Yeah, where's Parmesan? Well, again, I go for... because I really know, after having a house in Italy, that the better you buy, the absolutely more delicious it is. You know, I bought the cheap stuff from Co-op, and it has no tang. It has no strength, you know. And the whole thing about it is it's got a slightly MSG effect on food, you know.
Absolutely. That's because of the umami. which is that Japanese characteristic that you get in things like Marmite. It's that savoury, kind of flavour, and Parmesan has that, which is why if you add any tiny bit of Parmesan to almost anything, it's going to improve it.
Wow. So I must ask you, are you into food yourself?
I'm totally into food. I wake up in the morning and plan what I'm going to eat. I spend my breakfast time considering what I'm going to cook for dinner. I plan my day around trips to gourmet butchers, and I work with food brands. I mean, you know, it doesn't get better.
Okay, what's next?
Should we go to cereals?
Yes, please. Now, I'm scared of cereals.
You should be. You should be.
You know, you're always reading things like, you know, Original Crunchy, and all the things I absolutely love are like eating sort of a packet of digestive biscuits.
Yes,
and like
this is broadly true.
Oh, no.
But, you know, a little bit of what you fancy does you good.
Okay, okay.
So, show me what you buy, Josephine, in the cereal aisle.
Well, when they were younger, obviously I went to like the lower end, which is kind of like the more children-ified. I'd try and buy biscuits, Weetabix and things like that, try and buy less sugary ones. But they always, whenever they're with me, and that was quite often, they persuade me to buy them.
Cocoa Pops.
Yes. Which I was raised on myself, actually.
And Crunchy Nut cornflakes, which my husband loves and still sneaks into the house. Brilliant. And has a late night bowl when we've been out drinking, as you do.
Oh, God, I'm fantasising about it now you've said. Now, it's so muddling because there's so much choice. I mean, obviously Dorset cereals catches your eye. I mean, it is fabulous packaging. And I go for the purple one. Again, it's all to do with packaging. I really like that. And then I also might look at the one because of spelt flakes. Again, that's non-wheat. And oh my God, this is brilliant.
Variety pack.
I've got a variety pack of Dorset cereals.
That's so cute. So isn't that interesting? They're taking the variety pack that you would normally associate with total naughtiness and giving you the chance to try different ones
it's
that they have.
Such a good idea. Right, so that's going straight into my trolley.
But that was $4.29. If you look at that variety pack, so that's 84p per 100 grams, compared with if you buy a standard, that standard purple box that you were interested in, is 47p. So look at what
I'm
they're doing there.
More.
Well, you are per gram paying a lot more. But, you know, what the hell? Why not experiment and try some new things?
Yeah, it's fun. Now, ooh, I've never seen this mate before.
Mournflake.
No, never noticed them before. What, are they like a real healthy?
They're the biggest oat producer in, the oat processor in Britain.
Really?
But they haven't had a consumer-facing brand before now. But it's interesting that they have got one, but they process oats for lots of manufacturers that you will know.
Yeah. So what do you think of this packaging?
Well, it's in a pouch, which is quite interesting, because pouches are a new development in packaging.
Yeah.
It's very shiny to catch your eye, so it's got a shiny flash on the top. Mm. It's got a big heart on it, and it says heart healthy, which is the big thing with oats. It's heart healthy, because it lowers your cholesterol. It's got an appetizing bowl showing you what it looks like, and that it's got berries in, so it's got a photo of what you'll get, because obviously with a pouch you can't see through it. And it's got artfully scattered around the bowl many bits of fruit, possibly more than you might find inside the pouch. But there we go. We're eating with our eyes. And so that draws your attention. You imagine looking at that, a most delicious breakfast, and into the trolley it goes. So it's, again, getting around any kind of rational defence. You want something tasty. Yes. You know you should have oats. Into the trolley it goes.
Yeah. Can we look at the back and see how healthy it is? How much sugar has it got in?
Doesn't actually tell you.
Wow.
How are they doing that?
Are they legally allowed to do that?
Yeah, I don't think they have. They have to give you the order. They have to tell you what's in it.
Okay. So more than anything else,
it's got 35% mixed dried and freeze-dried fruits, which is basically sugar in fruit form. And don't kid yourselves, ladies, that sugar in fruit is really any better.
Oh, because I eat a lot of dried fruit.
I mean, it's good for you to have the fibre. There's no question. They've also used preservative sulfur dioxide, which will make you fart.
Ah.
Because it does. And that keeps that
so useful.
And that keeps the colour of the fruit as well. So when you tip them out, if you bought apricots in a health food shop, they'd be brown and kind of dull and
shriveled. They make me make a noise more than anything else,
yes,
I tell you.
They do. But I mean, this is broadly not bad. You've got oat bran in there, toasted oat bran, which is quite nice. It's kind of, it's a wee bit like a granola, which is the new big thing in the cereal aisle.
Right, let's see who
but in the in the cereal aisle, all the cues are bright colours. If you look around,
they really
they're bright colours, they're primary colours, they're what we grew up with. And if you put something that's a little bit whole foody, health foody in there, then you're going to suffer by comparison because everybody judges within a context.
Yeah.
So you look around, you don't pick up a product on the shelf just on its own. You compare it with what is around it.
Ah.
You compare on price, you compare on how it looks.
Yeah.
So you're always looking at the competition around.
Yeah.
So you have to think, when you're a food brand, what is the context I'm operating in? What are all the cues that people are using
to choose? I've never noticed before. I mean, these cornflake packets, the Kellogg's ones, they are so bright.
And they're so big. I mean, look at the size of that cock.
Yeah. What's next?
We might go and look at Free From, maybe, which is a big category, gluten-free and free.
Oh, yes, So Free From, is it a growing market?
It's a hugely growing market, and gluten-free, even though only a tiny percentage of us are actually celiacs and have to avoid it, but it's what I call having your cake and eating it.
Okay.
There you are. Can you see, Josephine, the signs for Free From? So the supermarkets want you to buy Free From.
Okay.
Because, because all the manufacturers can charge you a lot more because it's Free From. So their margins are much, much higher on Free From if they can persuade you to buy it.
Yeah. So is this their own brand, Free From, Sainsbury's?
Well, it's interesting. They've put a big hoarding up here so that you can see it.
Yeah.
And they have, fascinating, gone into a whole bunch of their own branding, their own label, Free From, which means they think there's a potential to make a killing and make some profit.
So lots of people don't have celiac, but they are still doing the wheat-free, are they?
Yeah, but you don't... I think it's become a bit of an affectation. Again, this is just my personal view.
Mm.
But look at this. So here we are. We've got a Free From OT flapjack slice.
Yeah.
Okay, it's got 43% pure oats in it, but it's got partially inverted refiner's syrup. That's golden syrup to you and I.
Wow.
It's got vegetable margarine. It's got palm oil. You need to watch palm oil because that's the thing that decimates the orangutan's habitat.
Oh, God.
It's got rapeseed oil. It's got water. It's got emulsifier in it. It's got brown sugar and flavouring. So
doesn't sound at all.
You know, it's probably over 50% of that is sugar. And that, there you are thinking it's healthy, it's gluten, wheat-free and dairy-free. Well, you know, you're just buying a bunch of sugar, and sugar is very cheap as an ingredient for a manufacturer. So you're handing them quite a lot of money for this product.
And then lastly, you have brought out a book.
I have. I thought it was time that all the clients that I'd worked with, I could put their wisdom in a book for food startups. Because I see there's a huge resurgence in making high quality product in the UK, new little brands coming along and starting up, lots of people coming out of university actually and just going for it, people midlife thinking, oh, I'm going to make some flapjacks and sell them at my local market stall. And I applaud all of that. And if you are going to do that, hop on Twitter because there's a massive community of people doing the same thing that you are. It's incredibly supportive and helpful. So I thought, what can I do for these small brands that can't afford to buy consulting or branding or marketing advice? I know, I'll write a book. So I've written a book and it's available on Amazon and Kindle. And people love it. It's basically, a plan on how to get yourself noticed in the aisles, how to get yourself noticed on the shelf, some things to do, some things to avoid, how to save money when you're starting out on your branding and packaging. And it has lots of tips from people like Innocent Drinks, Rude Health, Higgity, brands that you know and you've probably seen who are successful in the supermarket aisles. And I love it. And I've met so many wonderful people all over the UK who've bought it and emailed me to say how helpful it was. I've got to know a gorse syrup maker in the Hebrides.
Wow.
A seaweed forager on Skye. All sorts of people. Flapjack makers in Cardiff. All sorts of people. You know, and I just wanted to put something out there that would help them do it faster and better and not waste money.
And lastly... Absolutely, lastly, I just want to ask, how do people get into the supermarkets? They've got the product, they've got the packaging, they've got the idea. How would I get into a supermarket?
You would probably get yourself listed somewhere like a good whole food chain or health food chain. So in London, that would be As Nature Intended. It might be Whole Earth.
So I'm already getting in there. I'm in there.
You've got. You can't. It would be very hard for you to go straight to a supermarket with no track record and pitch to them. Mm. I mean, people do, but it would be hard. So because what they would be looking for, they want to see if you're actually selling and if you already have a market. So they what's called in the trade proof of concept. They want to know if your idea works. So if you've got sales and you've got people buying you regularly, even in one or two delis, it's like a sort of path. You move from one or two delis, then you go and talk to Whole Foods Market, you'd get listed there, then you might go and talk to Waitrose. You could go to Waitrose and say, I'm a local supplier, will you stock me? Because the supermarkets will stock a proportion of local suppliers in their area. Fantastic. And Tesco do the same.
Brilliant.
So basically, it's little by little, but you need to build a following, because if you went straight into the supermarket and nobody knew who you were, you would sink without trace, because people wouldn't buy you. And you'd probably look quite little and unknown on the shelf. And people, I'm afraid, in the supermarket tend to go for things that they know. So you would want to do it in that sort of more gentle way. And frankly, the supermarket is a very brutal environment for small brands. You know, you'll get listed by the supermarket. So Waitrose will say, all right, we'll give you 12 weeks. They'll put you in a number of the top stores. At the end of 12 weeks, if you can't show that you've sold a certain number of products off the shelf, they'll go, well, it's not really working out, is it?
And is that we don't want you.
That could be the total end, unless you can prove to them that people will start to buy you soon in quantity. Because it's all about making money, and every inch of the shelf in the supermarket has to make money.
Wow. So fascinating. And tell me the title of your book.
My book is called Packed, A Food Entrepreneur's Guide, How to Get Noticed and How to Be Loved.
Perfect for Radio Gorgeous. Tessa Stewart, you have been the most informative, imaginative, creative, fascinating guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Josephine. And I'm a huge fan of Radio Gorgeous. I love it.
This has been a Radio Gorgeous production for RadioGorgeous.com. Get in contact with us. Contact us on info@RadioGorgeous.com. And to sign up for our shows to come once a week into your inbox. Who can think of anything better, darling?
This is fun.